cast you off.
I am not to be compared to you.
No one outruns their past.
I am more easy, you trying your best to become me.
And mine just caught up to me.
That was a bit from the trailer for F9. It's the latest installment of the Fast and Furious franchise that was scheduled to open today, but COVID-19 has pushed the release to April of next year. In fact, this Memorial Day weekend, which traditionally has been the start of the summer movie season, looks very different this year. And joining us to talk about movie releases in the age of COVID-19 is John Horn, host of KPCC's show The Frame. And John, good to talk with you again.
Good to talk with you. And I don't know if I miss Vin Diesel's acting or want to hear more of it. I'm on the fence right now.
I know that clip got me excited a little bit. But we've touched on this before, but remind us, what are the benefits of delaying the opening of a film like F9 versus sending it to streaming services like so many are doing right now?
Well, for a movie like F9 that is, you know, a global blockbuster, in theory at least, I mean, the Fast and the Furious movies have grossed, you know, billions of dollars. The calculus is if all the theaters aren't open around the globe, that you might be able to do some pretty good business online through video on demand or some streaming platforms, but you're really going to maximize your returns for a movie like that by having a theatrical release. And if you look closely, a lot of the bigger budget movies, rather than go to video on demand or streaming, are delaying their releases. And right now, in a normal world, we could be watching Black Widow, the Marvel movie. F9, obviously, would be coming out as well.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole range of other movies that have pushed, like the next James Bond movie. So I think unless the studios feel that they can get them into every theater, which they can't, they're going to just hold off and then release them theatrically when they know they can get maximum saturation.
There are a few others too, right? So there's the latest Saw movie, SpongeBob, right?
Yeah, I know. I mean, especially if you've got a, you know, kids who are dying to get out of the house, SpongeBob movie, Sponge on the Run, was supposed to open today in theaters. It's now going to come out in August. The next Ghostbusters film, the next Quiet Place film, Wonder Woman 1984. These are all movies that should have come out in the summer, and none of them are going to right now.
Let's talk a little bit about those that are, though, going to streaming. One that dropped today was on Netflix. It's The Lovebirds. It's a comedy that stars Issa Rae and Kumail Nanjiani, a couple who gets caught up in a murder. And in this scene, they're tied to chairs in a barn, and Kumail, who plays Gibran, is threatened with two alternatives: hot bacon grease in the face or what's behind a door.
Let's make a decision here, all right? My husband and I have plans tonight.
I'll go with not the grease. I'll go with the door.
Gibran! Door it is. Tell them what they've won. Gibran, plant your feet! Stop it! Leave them alone! Open the door.
John, what do you make of this movie? What's your take on it?
This is a kind of fun comedy. It's not going to win any awards. But in that scene, they're being tortured and they have a choice between hot bacon grease or what's behind the door. And what's behind the door is a horse that, spoiler alert, ends up kicking Kumail's character very hard. And he says he should have chosen the bacon grease, which seems like a bad choice anyway. But this is a movie that Netflix has taken on. These are two actors who probably don't mean a huge amount at the box office, but matter a lot online in streaming. They have an audience. That audience is connected to them through social media. This movie, had it been released theatrically, you know, would have probably come and gone in a couple of weeks. But on Netflix, with people cooped up, desperate for new content, desperate for a laugh, desperate to see some actors that they care about, I think it's actually going to be really popular. So necessity was the mother of invention on this one in terms of how it's going to be released. But it does feel like a much better decision for a film like The Lovebirds to come out on streaming rather than theaters.
Yeah. Also coming out next Friday on Amazon Prime is the thriller The Vast of Night. Sierra McCormick plays Faye, a young switchboard operator in a small town in New Mexico. And in this scene we're about to play, she's suddenly overwhelmed with phone calls. Let's listen.
No, no, please. Sorry for the wait. Never, please. Okay, I'll connect you.
I'm not sure. No, you're the first one to
Yes, we'll let them know. Thank you. Number, please. Yes, we're notifying Highway Patrol. We'll relay any news to you. Thank you. Thank you.
John, you're a big fan of this film. Tell us a little bit more about it.
I love this film. It is a super low-budget film directed by a first-time filmmaker named Andrew Patterson. It is set in a small town in New Mexico in the 1950s. It's a very original story, even though it's very familiar in terms of having kind of like a Twilight Zone hook about an alien spaceship. But the hero of this movie, and this is the most important thing, hosts a radio program. So how many times have you seen a radio host be the hero of the story? He's got a listenership of maybe 100. He's in a small town in New Mexico. Totally spellbinding movie, and it's 90 minutes long. Really well done. Cannot recommend Vast of Night any more highly.
Yeah. I really want to talk with you a little bit about just the impact on the industry through the shutdowns because of COVID-19. Looking at the big picture, this region is really driven by the industry. I'm thinking about everyone impacted by the shutdown, not just the actors, but the crew, caterers, drivers, lawyers, daycare workers, everyone is, right?
It reaches beyond comprehension. And, you know, and we could talk about theaters, which went from a multi-billion dollar business to zero income overnight, shut down. And there's some chains that may not survive this. There are people who are costumers, makeup artists, they might be grips, they might have crew jobs who, you know, are gig workers. So they might not even qualify for full benefits or unemployment. So that's going to be really hard. But I talked to a woman the other day, and I think her story was really interesting because you never kind of imagine this being an issue. She owns a beautiful mid-century modern home in South Pasadena, and she rents it out for location shooting. And she said in a good year, she might make more than $40,000 a year renting out her house. She uses the money to restore the house and support herself. She's retired, and that money's gone. So when you start thinking about kind of the collateral damage, it's not just the people who make movies, but the people who might host a movie shoot. It might be, as you mentioned, caterers, the movie theater companies. It's everywhere. And it's really unclear when production's going to start back up. And the other problem is, you know, with nothing in production right now, even if you're watching Netflix or Amazon, at a certain point come like November, they're going to run out of new shows. And that's really going to be a problem for audiences.
This, of course, is all dependent on when the coronavirus threat goes down. But once that happens, how long do you think it might take for Hollywood to build back up? I mean, it would seem like it won't be just next week back up and running once we have been given the all clear to open up in this way.
No, I think it's going to take a while and it's going to be really different for certain kinds of shows. I mean, there's certain things that you would see on a movie set that are never going to be seen again. There's something called the craft service table. And it's basically this table that's piled with bagels and snacks and candy. Yeah. And if you're on a movie set, you would see people like picking through bagels, like looking for the cinnamon raisin. That's gone. Mm-hmm. But then I was talking to Glenn Close the other day. She is somebody who has had pneumonia in the past. And she said, I'm not going to go back to work until there's a vaccine. And you know, like I know, that could be a year away. Does that mean productions going forward will be, you know, small contained stories with maybe, you know, five or six actors and smaller crews? In some ways, it might be really good for much more intimate storytelling. If we're not going to go back to the big, massive Marvel movies, maybe this is a chance for the industry to reboot itself and say, we can make only these kinds of stories. And they're not these big epic blockbusters, but they're adult dramas. So that might be a good thing. But, you know, the various guilds in Hollywood, the Directors Guild, the Screen Actors Guild, they're trying to figure out what has to be in place. Because there has to be a kind of uniform set of agreements about how this is going to work. What kind of social distancing? What kind of testing? Are people going to wait for a vaccine? And nobody knows right now. They're working hard on it, but I think they don't really know when they're going to be able to start up. And when they start up, what kinds of shows they're going to be able to do.
That's John Horn, host of the KPCC show, The Frame, speaking about the impact of the coronavirus on Hollywood. John, as always, thank you.
Thank you. Stay safe and healthy.